Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Mitchell Thomas. Welcome to the Downstairs Care Out There podcast. Today, I'm going to be talking to you about intranasal fentanyl. This topic, of course, coming out of a conversation that I had on Twitter with a UK paramedic about the administration of fentanyl intranasally. He was particularly interested as over in the UK, as I've just learned, they can't possess fentanyl on their ambulances. So he was quite keen to hear from me about that. So we sparked up a little bit of a Twitter conversation around that, and I just thought I'd produce a podcast talking about my experience with intranasal fentanyl administration on my ambulance. Everyone listening should be relatively familiar with fentanyl. It's a fast-acting synthetic opiate. It's quite potent. It can be absorbed by the buccal, IV, IN routes, and also transdermally via patches. And its popularity has definitely increased pre-hospitally over the past few years. I know that a number of American ambulance services carry it, and three ambulance services that I've been able to identify and look at the protocols for in Australia do, those being Queensland, Victoria, and New South Wales. The advantage to fentanyl over that of morphine in the pre-hospital setting is that our patient encounters are often quite short, and our patients are in quite acute pain, making fentanyl the obvious drug of choice. I've found fentanyl to have a faster onset to morphine, even via the intranasal route. So this podcast isn't really about fentanyl. The only reason I'll be talking about fentanyl as my only pain relief is because that's where my experience lies. I've not administered anything else through a mucosal atomizing device. The device I'm familiar with is the LMA-branded MAD device, as they call it. Stands for mucosal atomization device. They come pre-packed in kits for us that include two alcohol swabs and a drawing up syringe, as well as a 1 mL syringe for the intranasal administration of fentanyl or midazolam. The advantage to being able to give pain relief intranasally is that you can often give pain relief to patients that would have experienced significant distress or difficulty in cannulation. I'm talking here about your special population such as geriatrics and pediatrics. And I have seen it work really well in both these populations. Sometimes it can be found to be more advantageous to administer the intranasal fentanyl and then spend your time finding a good vein to go for further pain relief. This saves your patient the pain and distress of sitting there with their pain unrelieved while you're still trying to find a vein to administer IV morphine. So now for two case studies demonstrating situations where intranasal fentanyl has been really effective. This first one is mine. It's based on a 65-year-old male who I was taking into Rampart Emergency Department. This gentleman was from home. He was found in his lounge room after he'd taken a mechanical fall. Past medical history includes AF, and he's currently a dialysis patient. He doesn't take any daily medications except for three times weekly dialysis. He's complaining of a swollen, tender, displaced left ankle. On examination, his pulse, motor, and sensation are all unaffected in the limb. He's unable to ambulate after the fall. His vital signs are all within a normal range. He is, however, complaining of 10 out of 10 pain in the left ankle. Because he's a dialysis patient, he was rather difficult to cannulate. I had a look, my partner had a look, and we elected to go for intranasal fentanyl administration in order to get this man in a box splint and transport him off to hospital. After 240 micrograms of fentanyl, the patient was reporting pain 3 out of 10. He was able to wiggle his toes without any increased pain, and he was able to tolerate the rather bumpy ride into hospital. In this case, intranasal fentanyl was the perfect choice. And methoxyflurane, while not contraindicated here, probably wouldn't have been the best choice for this patient, given his dialysis status. For those of you who aren't familiar, methoxyflurane is a inhaled anesthetic agent that's quite popular with ambulance services here in Australia. This is a typical situation where we'd use the intranasal fentanyl over trying to find a line, a situation of a difficult cannulation where there's no benefit to the patient if we stay on scene and attempt to try and get an IV in. For my second case, I'd like to talk about a 4-year-old girl who, while running around her home, attempting to pop a balloon she'd received earlier that day with a pair of sewing scissors. She fell onto the sewing scissors and created an open abdominal wound, which was slightly laterally placed from the umbilicus. I can't speak to this case at all from a medical standpoint because I wasn't there. What I can speak to it, however, from is a customer satisfaction standpoint. This child in question was actually my goddaughter. And speaking to the mother of the patient, afterwards, after they'd come into the emergency department and I had an opportunity to catch up. She was much happier with the paramedic's choice to go with fentanyl instead of methoxyfluorine, used before on her husband, and was quite distressed by some of the side effects that it produced in terms of the high that people get from it, whereas all the fentanyl really did was calm her little girl down, allowed her to really get herself together and prepare for the next stage, which was arriving at the emergency department. I think what we need to think about when we're choosing fentanyl over methoxyfluorine is that our patients are going to be in pain for quite a great deal of time. Methoxyfluorine, being an inhaled analgesic, really only works while the inhaler still has preparation in it. I think that fentanyl's a much better choice. If I'm going to have to give something that's going to have to last this patient a long time, I think fentanyl's a better choice, as it'll provide that long-term analgesia. Methoxyfluorine's a very suitable second-line alternative to either morphine or fentanyl, and I've seen it used and been encouraged to use it in this way in the future. Methoxyfluorine's a very good second line, as it can be given for a limited duration during a painful procedure such as limb realignment or replacement of a dislocated limb. And then once you take the inhaler away and you've taken the painful stimuli away, you're left with a patient who's no longer analgesed and able to be discharged from your care at that point with appropriate instructions for follow-up. So while I don't think intranasal fentanyl is the be-all and end-all of pain management, and I'd really like to have IV fentanyl instead of morphine, unfortunately the options that we're stuck to at the moment are morphine IV or IM, fentanyl intranasally, or methoxyfluorine via inhaler. I've found the onset of fentanyl to be highly advantageous. It seems to onset much quicker than morphine does, and although it lasts for a shorter time, we can give smaller maintenance doses to keep up the analgesia. The intranasal fentanyl also requires less training than the methoxyfluorine inhaler. You don't have to coach your patient on how to breathe on the inhaler. You've just got to encourage them to breathe normally while you squirt the fentanyl at the mucosal membrane. It's been found in studies that intranasal fentanyl provides superior pain relief to methoxyfluorine, and there's a link to a study covering exactly that topic in the show notes. This was just intended to be a quick podcast on my experience with intranasal fentanyl, so I hope I've brought a bit of the intranasal fentanyl experience that I have out into the general community. I've found that patients are more satisfied with it. I've found that family members are more satisfied with it. I've found that patients feel better when you're administering the fentanyl as opposed to methoxyfluorine. I've found that patients don't like being disoriented. Some do, but a lot of the older population especially dislike methoxyfluorine and can have some difficulties overcoming the taste of it. And that's not really limited to the old or the young. That can really be anyone. It's quite a horrid tasting drug. So I do and probably will continue to use intranasal fentanyl over methoxyfluorine for this reason. This has been a quick podcast by me, Mitchell Thomas, for the Downstairs Care Out There blog. If you have any questions about anything, feel free to approach me on Twitter. Or if you'd like to ask a question that you want everyone to see, please feel free to put it up on the comments section at the show notes so that everyone who goes and visits that page can get the benefit from it. And this has been Mitchell Thomas for the Downstairs Care Out There blog podcast.